Lee Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with me today. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today we are speaking with Diane Collins. She's the author of the book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. So she's here today to talk about what it means to quantum think. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Thank you so much, Marie. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. So what does it mean to quantum think?
What does it mean to quantum think? What it means to quantum think is to take a literal leap to the expanded reality that your show is all about and all your guests and the conversations you have with people, and to think from the principles as a whole system rather than trying to think about, you know, subtle energy systems or channeled wisdom or holistic approaches to healing in separate ways. Instead, we expand our thinking. And what brought me to this, actually, you know, every time somebody asks me that, Marie, I say it differently. I'm always wondering, how is it going to come through this time? And because quantum think is actually a system of thinking that I invented because, frankly, I got really tired of the, let's put in quotes, two realities, if you know what I'm talking about.
So let's clarify. What do you mean when you say two realities?
The two realities. You know, the one reality where, and I was always, you know, listening to some of your shows, which are always wonderful. And I was listening to your show with Bernie Siegel, Dr. Bernie Siegel, and he was talking about how when he would introduce his approaches to healing, that the traditional medical profession would think, oh, you know, you're crazy, I don't believe this. And it's really because as a culture of humanity, as a place of evolution, of consciousness, that we are not yet in the public, you know, mainstream domain, functioning in the culture where we understand it's a consciousness-based reality. We're not in traditional education learning about the connections of our mind to mind and mind to matter connections. You know, synchronicity, the title of your show, that we do live in fields, we exist in resonant fields of energy and intelligence that is directed by our own intent, that we can tune into information and intelligence at a distance from us, at a physical distance, because of the nature of synchronicity and this what's called non-local mind field. So because that's what I mean by making the leap in the two realities. So there's the, you know, how did we get this separation between knowing these things or not knowing them? Okay, so let's talk about the two realities first. The part of our culture which has never really been introduced and therefore doesn't accept that as the typical, normal, true reality, this expanded, multidimensional, holistic, universal system, and then the reality, the assumptions about reality that our culture basically lives in. And what I mean by that is that we think and live influenced, this is what I discovered, because I thought, well, what's the answer? You know, why do we say, you know, we have all this wisdom and all of our spiritual traditions, yet we're still not living it? And why do we have this divisiveness? So as I investigated, Marie, my discovery was that we are imagining we think freely and independently, and, you know, we all know as you think, so you become. So what I discovered is that we are influenced in this, what I call the old world view, the culture, predominantly by an industrial age worldview, the original rational science that began in the 17th century. But when Einstein came along, and so a lot of those assumptions have been proven to be wrong. The first one being that physical matter is the only thing that's real. That's what they said. So then we, you know, in quantum thinking and in my book, Do You Quantum Think?, it's not about science, but it's about how these discoveries of science have shaped our thinking. And because our habits of thinking and patterns of thinking do give rise to our, you know, what we attract and our reality and our experience moment by moment, and therefore all of our results, outer results, inner results, relational results with other people, that it becomes very important to realize that we can literally think in sync with the nature of reality at the edge of what we know today. So I invented Quantum Think to make it easy for people to do that. So there's no more discrepancy between the way we're thinking and the way we're experiencing life and the way that nature actually works.
So, Diane, I'm curious now, how do you start to change when you have this belief for so long? Just as an example, a real-world example, back in, I don't know what, about the 70s, the medical community started telling people, if you eat fat, it'll make you fat. So everyone started eating a low-fat diet and high carbs, and now everyone's fatter than ever. So obviously that's a flawed way of thinking. But people still, even though now it's coming out that if essential fats are very important and it's much more important to have a balance and yada, 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 people still seem to hold on to that old belief back from the 70s. So how do you, even when this is opened to you and you realize that tangible reality is not the only thing that's, quote, real, how do you actually really embody that belief?
Well, that's a very good point you're bringing up, because it's a great illustration that you're talking about of what old world thinking is, because it's a thinking that thinks in parts and separation. They said, you know, the universe as machine, if you could divide it up into these cause and effect parts and figure out how it works, we could predict and control everything. So in this case, you're talking about being healthy. So what's the difference? Well, in quantum thinking, in a quantum worldview, we literally think from a holistic view, which is not just parts working together, but it's an integration of total nutrients, let's say. So that's an example of old world thinking, what you brought up. That's what I'm saying. It's an excellent illustration, because they're taking one factor in isolation, fat, and saying, well, if you eat fat, you'll get fat. Therefore, cut out fats. And, you know, you can look around and you see that this is how that very subtle pattern of thinking, right? If there's something wrong with your body, cut it out. You know, it's the slice and dice, which sometimes in emergency medicine, you know, that's allopathic traditional medicine as we know it, is great, everyone knows, for emergency medicine. But in terms of preventive and keeping healthy, staying healthy, you have to have the understanding that you can't isolate something like fat. And then, as I say, I always say to my husband, Alan Collins is my business partner and husband, partner in everything in life, you know, if you wait 5 years, right, Marie, you'll hear the opposite about fat. Yes. So then there's different types of fats. And then, but you have to understand, well, how does the fat work with the protein and the carbohydrates? And whatever, what other factors are there? And you're right, the essential fatty acids, which we need for weight loss, I'm sure you know, to maintain a normal weight, you probably know. So that's a very good example of how even when we have knowledge, if we're not thinking from the system, from a whole system of these principles which make up our more expanded, more accurate, more up-to-date reality, that first principle being it's we live in a holistic and holographic universe, you know, that you're still going to have these issues and these problems persist. You know, that classic, anyway, does that answer?
It does, and then it brings another question for me, because we are starting to move towards taking a more holistic view of the world, thankfully. And at the same time, I'm wondering if now we're not getting into another trap, because our limited perspective, we can think that we have the whole view, but we don't. So Taking a holistic view is still not taking a holistic view, because there's no way that from our human perspective, we could possibly see the entire picture.
Right. And this is another principle of quantum thinking. That's genius. You just brought that up. That in the quantum domain, you can never, one of the principles, I call them distinctions in new thinking, is infinite possibility. So there are, in any given moment in time, what makes our reality, you know, what gives us our experience in that moment is wherever we have our awareness, our consciousness. And you could say from the scientific viewpoint that a reality, to say it like this, it's like a possibility waiting to happen, to say it briefly. It's any number of ways that something can materialize as reality. And so what narrows that field of possibility, that infinite field, is our own intent. That is, where we're placing our attention and directed attention. But to get to what you're saying about not being able to see the whole picture, well, if you're living in an infinite possibility universe, and this is where the thinking goes beyond ordinary logic, we really have to allow for this, is that because of infinite possibility, because we're living in a world, an energy system that's always in flux, always moving, is that we'll never be able to see the whole picture. However, right, and they say in the universe, I use as a metaphor, an example, is that the scientists say they can only see 4% of the material universe. And, you know, of the rest of the 96%, they call it dark matter or dark energy. So they know it's there, but they can't really see it. So if we think of ourselves that way, I use 10% because it's easier, that we can see in a given moment in time, as you're pointing out, that only what we can see, only what we can even visualize in our imagination at any given moment in time, but we can know that there is a whole 90% connected to it. So to make this, take it out of the abstract and make it real, if you have an intent, and I make a distinction between intent and intention, because intent deals with this, quote, invisible field of intelligence, where if you think of intention as a future goal, of a way of action, you know, in the action domain, in the physical domain, even though everything begins in thought, and eventually you reach that goal, that intention. But let's say if you're operating from intent. So let's say you have an let's give an example, okay, that you have an intention to be a leading, I'll use you, you know, one of the top 10 radio show hosts in the world.
Ooh.
Right? That's a good intention, isn't it, Marie?
I want to, let's make it TV.
Okay. You know, it's so, you know what's funny is I was thinking TV and I said radio, but that's the, but there's where I didn't follow my intuition. That's also a good intuition, a good example where, you know, using intuition, really, really being able to follow it, because I had the thought TV and I switched it. So good. Okay. Top 10 TV hosts in the world. So that's an intention, right? A future goal. And it's something that you're still holding in your being. Whereas intent is a dynamic. It's an, I call it, it's not that my way is, quote, the truth, because in the quantum reality, it, there is no absolute way that something is in this infinite possibility world. But we make a distinction to give us access to something. So when I call quantum think a system of distinctions, I'm talking about it that way. It's something that you connect to, you resonate with, because we're working with universal principles. Or you don't, but use, you know, whatever works for you. So the way that I distinguish intent is that it's an activation of the energy field. And as you know, this non-local mind, M-I-N-D, field of energy and intelligence, is that's a connection that you make through your intuition, through your intent. So when you create, and in that field, I was going to say, it's beyond the limits of space and time, because mind is not an ordinary physical object. Therefore, it doesn't exist in ordinary chronological time and physical. It has no constraints of physical space because it's a non-spatial temporal entity. It's mind, it's consciousness, it's free, unbounded. So you state the intent in the present tense. We could say the omnipresent tense, right? The all forever tense outside of time. And let's say you could state, if you were creating an intent for that, you could say, I'll give you an example, unless you can think of one. But in the, if you were stating in the present tense an example of how that intention becomes an intent, you might say, I'm ecstatic. I like to use, I like superlatives.
That's a good word. Ecstatic is
why
good.
Not, right? If you're creating, go all the way. I'm ecstatic that I'm recognized as a top TV performer. Okay, I'm not even going to say show host, because suppose it shows up in a different way, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, if you say show host, then that sort of locks it, you know, you're confining the energy in a way. So if you say television, TV performer, then it opens it up, and you're ecstatic about it. So even though it doesn't match the exact physical circumstance, the manifest in the physical reality yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, correct?
I'm following, yep.
Okay. But you can know, because of the power of intent, and it's not positive thinking. It's literally, you're holding that vibrationally within you, in your being, that you are going to, Marie, attract circumstances that synchronize, that are in sync, that resonate with that intent. So that intent has a certain range of probabilities. And instead of attracting one result, and I think this is where people really get, you know, they start to think, oh, you know, the secret, or, you know, creating your reality, it's all, I don't know, it's not working. I created my intention and it didn't happen. Because you really have to understand at a more refined, I would call it, level, the way that mind works and the way this works. So it's not a positive thinking, you know, covering up a negative conclusion. It's that you know when you shift the dynamic within you, and you say, you know what, I'm ecstatic, and that I'm one of the top 10 TV, even top 10 limits it a little bit, but that I am recognized as a top television, you know, performance person, a performance artist, or however you say it, that you start to shift the resonance of you. And this is how we get to shape-shift realities. So is it making sense? I know to our logical, to the old world logic, which is cause and effect, you know, if I do enough of this, and it's not saying you don't take action, because the reality, you know, it's multidimensional, it's physical, it's energetic, it's virtual of mind, it's spiritual, it's all of the above, it's cosmic natural law. So, you know, it's divinity. When you start to think holistically, you realize that multidimensionality as an integrated whole system. So, of course, we take action. But that's the central active creative dynamic that we've been born with, that we've been bestowed with by divine birthright. So shouldn't we be learning how to use it if that's how we create our results in life?
All right. Well, it's time for a break, Diane. So we will be back in just a moment. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Right now we're speaking with Diane Collins. She is the author of Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back with more synchronicity very shortly.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca.
How do you go from this
would not be felt apart
to this? Your parents' Shakespeare, this ain't. Welcome to The Bombity of Errors, an adaptation of MC Willie Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors. Elizabethan times get pumped up with a little hip-hop flavor as actors sing, rap, and rhyme with a live DJ on stage. Bombity of Errors runs from April 4th through the 22nd at Studio 16 in Vancouver. For tickets and more information, just go to brownpapertickets.com.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. Bombity. So anyway, this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with Diane Collins. She's the author of Do You Quantum Think? Welcome back to the show, Diane.
Thank you so much.
So earlier we were talking, you had mentioned using me as an example, saying top radio host, and I said, let's switch it to TV. And you said you kind of felt TV, but you changed it back to radio. So let's talk about that. You mentioned it had been your intuition to say TV. So how do you tap into your intuition rather than, because I was talking about this last week, about discernment of what's genuine intuition and what's your mind playing tricks on you or worrying or whatnot. So how do you tap into what's real intuition versus what's just regular logic thinking?
There are a number of ways, And one way, of course, that's what just happened to me, right? I was trying to think of what would be an intent for you. And the first thing that comes to you, that's one way. So that kind of gets there before your logical mind or your cognitive mentation, right? The mentalizing begins, where your mind comes in and says, no, that can't be right. What about this? So that's one way, is just, what's the first thing that comes? Another way, and this is an aspect of it, of all of it, is that to go into that space of being centered. So we could call that in quantum thing system, I call it the zero point state, where, you know, in science, there's a term called zero point energy. And what it means is that the place where the energy seems to be at rest, although it's never completely at rest, there's always some fluctuation going on. So I'm adapting, remember, how do these principles, or how can we use these principles to shape our thinking so that we're thinking more in sync with the way nature works? So I use this term zero point state. Now people, you know, you may know it as, you can think of it as meditative state, mindfulness, being centered, being at peace. Or as I say, what are we centered in? You know, we're centered in that connective point of awareness. So the connective point is our own individuality with the unbounded awareness. And when you quiet that chitter-chatter, right, that incessant that the mind does, and you get quiet, that's when you can hear things. And that's when you can connect. And we were talking before the break about this field where you said, well, you know, how do we know? And I was talking about with intent, if you know you can only see in a given moment 10% of what's possible, but you can know that you are connected to the other 90%. And that's where the principle of allowing comes in. Because once you have an intent, let's say you can have an intent to improve the quality of your intuition and the usefulness of it, which I know you recommend, and I highly recommend this. And in Do You Quantum Think, the principle is intuition and non-locality. It means you, and I'm talking about starting to use your intuition as a discipline until it becomes no discipline, where it just becomes a natural way of life. So what you're talking about, Marie, about the discernment, is to be able to, firstly, instead of the intuition just coming up like, oh, isn't that great? My intuition worked, right? Because we kind of have that. I mean, unless, you know, you're already using this in a very, you know, consciously generated, consciously aware way of your intuition, which I think you are, right?
Me? Oh,
yeah,
I don't know. I try to follow my intuition, but I do get confused with what's intuition. And well, if you listen to last week's show, I was talking about my relationship that ended, and I'd had all these thoughts about I don't know. I get confused as to what intuition is and what is old thought patterns coming up, because sometimes I'll have a feeling that this doesn't feel right, and later I find out that it was intuition. And then other times I'll feel like, oh, this isn't right, and I realize that it's just me being a worrywart, which is totally two different things, but it can be very hard to decipher what the difference is.
Right, and this is why You know, I talk about when you master your mind, you master your life, because with mastering the mind is not just I don't mean the mentation, the chatter, the drunken monkey mind. I'm talking about the awareness. You're awakening your awareness. And I think you're bringing up one of the most important points about this discernment. So if you think about intuition works in many ways. So you with this relationship, I did hear something about it. I think you were talking with Anna, right, about it?
Oh, Anna. I was talking. No. Oh, geez, that's the old relationship.
Oh, that's
that
the
was
older.
The one before that. That's the ex before this ex.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, we're on to the new one now.
He's old news.
Let's say no. I think this is a really important question because. I know, you know, I was on a show the other night and someone called in and was asking, because I was on with an intuitive, as a professional intuitive, and they were asking her, well, what's going to happen with my boyfriend? And so this is why it's so important, you know, to really improve the quality of our intuitive faculty, which is one of the most important faculties of mind. Again, we haven't learned about it in school because we're conditioned by the old world view that said only the physical is real. So we don't learn about mind in school. We learn about brain. Okay, so back to your relationship. It's very important because to use the intuitive faculty today because of the increasing speed and complexity of choices, number of choices. We can't move in that incremental step-by-step. So you've got to get this instant kind of access to knowing. So there are various ways that this shows up. One is, like what had happened with you a few minutes ago, is that it can come as just an inner voice. Intuition can come as a gut feeling, like you feel it. You said something didn't feel right to you. It can come from something external to us because we have distinction but no actual separation between ourselves and what appears external in the physical domain. So we can get a sign, a signal, from the outside world, from the external physical world. You know, a bird flies by and it says something to you. So we have all, or you can also be intuit something by just a direct knowing. That's my predominant way. So a lot of all my life, and I never, you know, until I started to distinguish this for myself, I was saying, I don't know how I know this, but I know it. You know, I would say there are a lot of things I don't know, but certain things I know for sure, and this is it. And I just know it. I don't feel it. I don't hear it. I didn't get, you know, the gut feeling, the visceral feeling. I didn't get the auditory. I didn't get the visual in my imagination, but I just know it. So that's another way, a very important way, I think, for most people. We have, all of us have all of it, right? And then the external means to it. So getting to the discernment is really being able to get, it's again, the most important thing is getting to that zero point state. So let's say, Marie.
I want to stop you right there, Diane, because
okay.
I think that the example of you feeling like TV was the right thing to say and you changed it to radio, let's break that down so we can get your process there. You said you felt like you intuitively knew it was TV, but you changed it. So what happened there? Because if you're an expert in this and you're doing this kind of stuff still, what hope do we all have?
Well, it's a practice. You know what it is? I say it this way. Mass transformation is not a one-time event. Mastery is a practice. A moment-by-moment proposition. And this is it. Because if you want, we say all these platitudes, right? Oh, be in the moment, you know, be here now with nothing added or, you know, whatever, however we say it. But there is something to it where when you can live from a place of an awakened thinking. You know, what is quantum thinking? It's awakening yourself in your awareness beyond the automatic patterns and habits.
So in that moment, I'll tell you what happened. I'm hearing all this theory, and it's lovely, and we had this, like, juicy experience that
right.
we just
this
shared.
Is what
so
happened.
Let's break it down.
Okay. What happened is I wanted to come up with an intention I thought you would have, and TV came to me. So that's without knowing, because you never told me that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that as an external way of knowing that what you really want is TV, right?
Correct.
Okay. But it came to me, but I heard it in this particular form of intuiting it. There was like an internal voice, TV. Then what happened is my logical mind kicked in, the ordinary logic. Not the quantum logic. And my ordinary logic said, well, Marie is a radio show host. So that, you know, and this all happened like in a nanosecond. So it was like, as soon as my logic kicked in, but Marie is a radio show host. I used radio. And then when you said TV, I recognized, well, that's what I got the first time. That was what the immediate information came to me. So as soon as you have an intent, anyway, so I don't know how to break it down any more than that. That's exactly what happened in this particular instant.
And so are you going to use that experience, hopefully, for next time? Because that's the thing. I mean, we do that all the time. It's hindsight is 20/20. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, that was definitely intuition. But how do you actually use that intuition and without letting your logical crapola get in the way as we're moving forward, rather than only being able to recognize that intuition in hindsight?
Well, you know, eventually it becomes a more natural way. It becomes more natural. And you may still have those, what I call least action pathways, the way the thought goes, because it's been that route before. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're not good. But it's like, you know, I use tennis because I play tennis and I'm a tennis fan. And if you want to play tennis and you take a lesson to learn, you know, anybody can pick up a tennis racket and a ball, right, and hit it. Anybody can do that without a lesson. But it doesn't mean you know how to play tennis. So we all are born with the intuitive faculty, and it kicks in. But it doesn't mean we're using it consciously. Then to use the tennis analogy, you take a lesson, and you start to learn the distinctions of tennis. And then if you just take one lesson but you're not practicing, it doesn't make any difference. When you start to practice, that's when you become masterful. And you allow other things to kick in as well, you know, your physical stamina and all the other things that go with it. So we don't, you know, we want to make sure we're always thinking here multidimensionally. So with intuition, what you want, and, you know, it sounds like what you want to know, how am I going to get rid of that with those thoughts that come up, and how we would say it in quantum thinking, is that you don't get rid of the automatic thoughts because, as my husband would say, they get there before you do. Because you only notice them after that thought arrives. Then what can we do? Well, we can create a new relationship with those thoughts. Because those thoughts are like circumstances. They are not absolute, and they are not the so-called truth. They're just a thought that visits you, Marie. So when you have the thought, if you have, first of all, a consciously created intent to master your intuitive faculty. So let's start. That's very real.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Let's do that. That's a good intent to have.
That is a good intent to have, which, by the way, I created that intent for myself a long, long you know, many, many years ago. And as you pointed out, those logic still kicks in. Now, the best thing is to be able to, if you're quantum thinking, be able to integrate both so that you're not trying to get rid of ordinary logic, you're not trying to get rid of old world, you know, limited thinking, but you want to be able to have enough of an awakened awareness to know when each is appropriate, when they're both appropriate, integrated. So, when you go on the internet, for example, you're using ordinary logic, you know, what do I want to find, and you're using intuition, because you'll just happen to click on exactly what you need, or you want to find a certain answer to something. You walk into a bookstore, you have the intent. There's a certain logic to walking into the bookstore to discover it, but then the right book, somebody told me this the other day, one of my readers, she said, oh, and do you quantum? I was sitting down in his couch in the bookstore, and the book literally fell on her head. So this is how we connect to things. So when you're going to still have those thoughts, Marie, those ordinary logic thoughts, or in the case of relationship, let's talk about that, for example, because this happened to me, too, a long time ago before I was married to Alan, is that we have the wishful thinking of how you want it to go, right?
Yeah, well, in this case, and I'm sure that listeners are getting so sick of hearing me bitch and complain about this, but in this case, he had the wishful thinking. He got, his hormones got the better of him, I think, and he was like, oh, I love you, I want to marry you one day, blah, 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 blah. And then a couple few weeks later, he was like, oh, I guess that was just hormones. So, that was wishful thinking for him, and I guess my wishful thinking was that it wasn't a pile of crap, so... Okay, I'm done ranting now.
But we have a picture. You know, you say it's ranting, but how I would say it is that, you know, it's an aspect of you expressing what you're here to express, you know, your worldly purpose, which is that we're given these experiences so that you can authentically be living your purpose in communicating this with your listeners, with your viewers. I'm already relating to you as the TV host, with your listeners or viewers, because you're having the authentic experience of what happens in relationships that are not going the way your picture is. So it's helping everyone, believe me. So now, with this happens to so many people, where this is where quantum thinking is really helpful, because you recognize that there's something there that, you know, perhaps your, you know, destiny, there's destiny, let's say, in free will, but there is a destiny to things. There's a kind of a soul, S-O-U-L, blueprint, which is a predilection, which we don't necessarily live that out. But let's say with a relationship that perhaps you're meant to be with this person. Perhaps not. Maybe you don't know. Would you say it's totally over right now?
Yeah, I'd say it's that's a pretty safe bet. It's done, yeah.
Okay, but you have an intent for a relationship.
I do.
Right?
Of course. I want a loving, passionate relationship that lasts a lifetime and where we're both able to support one another's life purpose. And we're accepting of each other and our flaws because, you know, that's part of what makes us interesting is that we're flawed.
Okay, great. So that you could say as an intent. This is, you know, just a little bit of a tweak on that to attract that in. Because you said, I want one that is, and everything else was great. In the present tense, it's that I know, you can even say it like this, I know that this relationship is the one that I'm having. And I would say it in the present tense. Because, yeah, and then allow for it to come in. But what happens is when you have an intent for a relationship like that, then anything that is an interference with that, the intelligence of the universe is so beyond what we can imagine. But you are connecting with that intent, Marie, in such a way that, let's say, I like to call it universal intelligence, infinite intelligence, will take away anything not resonant with it. And this is where then our logical mind comes in and say, well, can't we kind of make it work? You know,
yeah.
Can't we? Well, what about, I have this friend who is, I have a friend, I should say, she's in her 80s now. Her name is Iris Salzman, and she's one of the most extraordinary clairvoyants I've ever encountered. And I met her many, many, many years ago. And it was when I was in that, looking for the relationship stage. And she would look, you know, I would say, what about this? And she'd look and, you know, shake her head, no. And she would say, no, but, you know, then she'd give me the logic. Oh, no, you know, he's a musician. Your lifestyles will never match up or whatever. And I'd say, but I can show, I can help him, you know. So we try to make it fit, have a make it fit our pictures. But if you stay in intent, and this brings us full circle to what we've been talking about here, where if you stay in the intent, and allow for that unseen intelligence to attract to you what you do want, then this is how our dynamic of being able to create the experiences, the relationships, the results that we want in life. But it's that trying to manipulate the logic of it. And the other part of it is always, well, for the time that you were together, there's something you learned from it, right? There's some kind of awakening or awareness that you had from that relationship, is there?
Oh, yes. yeah, sure.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but since you said you talk about your relationship on the air.
Oh, I learned many, many things. I'm just going to say, I think that the universe in this situation was saying, this man is far too douchey for you. We are going to help you move on.
That's exactly it.
Yes.
And you see, when you say, how do I recognize the intuition?
And I say that with love. I say that with love. I don't want to talk smack about him. He's not a horrible person, but a little bit douchey. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going with the douchey, but I'm just talking about that the intent, you know, the synchronicity of you and the person who is the good match, that you're the good match for each other. You know, that's another kind of intent. That the perfect match for me, because the old worldview taught us to look in parts. I used to tell a friend of mine, he looks at women like, you know, cans of soup on the shelf. Well, I like that flavor. I don't like that. You know, but really, that's how our old worldview thinking is conditioned. We don't even realize all these things I'm saying are very subtle, but in my book, which, of course, I want to introduce people to, I'm saying, let's put this all together and let's make this leap in our thinking. And let's, you know, the book is intended to connect you to your own awareness as you read so that it becomes integrated naturally. So when you're not looking at, you know, oh, there's a guy or there's a woman and I like this, this, and that about them, but we're looking more how does life really work? It's, are we resonating?
Mm-hmm. On what, I like that word, resonating,
right?
Yes.
Are we resonating? Are we connecting? In what levels are we connecting? In fact, I do a talk sometimes that I call the 7 levels of relating. And it's on my website, so I invite any. I'm inviting
What's
you.
What's your website? What is your website, Diane?
The website is www.diane.com. DianeCollins.com, and it's Diane with two N's, DianeCollins.com. And if you click on Ultimate Study Group, where, gee, I better make sure that it's updated with this, but where we offer a free teleconference study group. I call it Ultimate because it's readers of Do You Quantum Think from around the world. Everybody's invited, even if you're not reading it yet, that we do. In fact, we have one on the day of this broadcast. I know this will be listened to in the future as well, but first and third Mondays in Eastern Time Zone at 7:30, but all the replays are on my website, and one of them is on the seven levels of relating, which after this show, I'm going to make sure that it's up to date and there. Because when you start to realize that, what is a relationship? It happens in the relational field. It's not a separation. So what is quantum thinking? It's recognizing that your relationship is about connecting, and it's about the field of connection. And you start to look at these seven levels. At what level are we connected in our values and lifestyles? That's in my talk. It's called the lower mental. You know, we like the same things. We don't like the same things. This is very important because you can end up on, you know, all different sides of the planet or not spending time together. So it depends on what is important to you. But some people, they're more interested in a spiritual connection. Do we have that connection? Are we connecting on the level of abstract ideas where we're into all of this multidimensional, metaphysical, and any of these type of things? Or no, I'm only interested in, you know, physical sense pleasure. So it's where are we connecting is very important, but the key word being the connection. Are we resonating? And whatever your intent is for your perfect relationship for you, as you pointed out, universal intelligence will make sure that it won't work if it's not consistent with your intent. I don't want to say right or wrong. It's a question of what is your intent.
All right, good. And
you're still wondering about this for yourself, right?
No, I actually came to realize this is sort of, I've gone through this process of, you know, I'm still feeling hurt and angry because I feel like he lied to me. And this is one of the, the realization of being lied and betrayed, being lied to and betrayed, has brought me to the realization this morning that for the last couple of weeks, I've been wishing that things were different, wishing that he would change his mind and want to be with me and realize what a horrible mistake he's made and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying he didn't make a mistake because I do feel that way. And at the same time, now I'm in the position where I'm like, but I don't want to be with someone whose value of honesty is not consistent with mine, who does not feel that honesty is as high a priority as it is for me. And it's not a matter of right or wrong or bad or anything like that. It's just that for me, when I make a promise, I do my very best to uphold it. And I try not to make promises because I know promises can be broken. And so I'm just rambling. But for me, I value honesty and I do my utmost to embody honesty in my thoughts and words and deeds. And so what I expect from a partner is someone who resonates with me on that same level.
Exactly. So this is where we're talking about resonance. And by the way, we're talking about relationship. Not everyone who's listening is maybe interested in that, but this is applicable to anything in life. Now, one very important distinction that I call my revelation. It's after, you know, my book is in two parts. Part one, wake up. Why should we quantum think? You know, not just here, we can quantum think, but why is it important? And part two is live the wisdom, which are the actual principles and practices for the mind of an awareness that puts it in place in your life. And so in part one, the chapter revelation was my revelation, which is that, you know, I learn as you think, say you become, right? Your habits of what we were talking about, habits of thinking, create your reality and all your results. Okay. And I was thinking, well, how does that happen? And if all you had to do was change your thought to change your life, to change the world, how, you know, why does everything still look the way it does? And my revelation was that we imagine we're choosing our thoughts, but most of the time we're not. I call it the myth of choice, Marie, because, and I'm using this, you know, this gentleman that you're talking about, because a lot of times we look and we say, well, you know, he doesn't have the same level of honesty. He doesn't have the same level of integrity. He doesn't have the same level of being able to communicate openly or whatever it is.
Maybe he would have that with someone else, but for me, it's just not a match.
Maybe he would, but what I'm saying is that if we're really living the wisdom, right, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's living the wisdom. So, and I'm... Right?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, so I'm not saying you should be with him and put up with the, you know, whatever the lack of honesty that he's right now not able to express with you. What I am saying is that when we start to have these distinctions, that the old world view, which was a mechanical worldview, in many ways we become automatic and mechanical in our thinking, that we're not even aware that we have these habits of behaving, these least action pathways, I call it, the way the action goes because it's been that route before. Until we can start to distinguish that as it happens in the moment, interrupt it and say, well, wait a minute. I didn't want to be, why is this anger habit coming up? Why is this inability to be honest with this person coming up and be able to interrupt it in your own awareness and create a new intent? So this is what I mean by creating a new relationship with your circumstances. And why is this important, right? Let's keep with
Diane,
your example.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. I'm so sorry. I've totally let this run over time. It's been so fun talking with you, but Parts Unknown is about to start in just a moment. So I'm going to leave you to say whatever you would like to close the show with. We are speaking right now with Diane Collins. She's the author of Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. And coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown. So I do apologize for having to cut this short. But Diane, what would you like to leave listeners with today?
I would like to just say, when you start to create a relationship with the thoughts that visit you as distinct from the ones that you're choosing, your entire reality, your entire experience, all your inner state, your outer results will all be transformed. And it really becomes very, very simple. So I just want to thank you, Marie, for having this conversation. And it was, you know, I think it's important. I think people were relating to where you are with it. And of course, I invite everyone to read my book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World, so that we can get that new relationship, more awakened state, with all of these principles and with the thoughts that are visiting us.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And not just relationship, whatever it is your intent is for your purpose or for the world.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I feel bad for having to cut you off, but I don't want to keep Chris waiting any longer because Parts Unknown is very, very important.
Of course it is. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
Have
and a
great
day. Show.
Okay. Take
Thank
care,
you.
Diane. Bye-bye. Again, that was Diane Collins, author of Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. And I'm so excited that Chris is going to be up in just... What's that funny look on your face?
Nothing.
I'm so excited that Chris is going to be on the air in just a moment because I love his energy and he's just so bright and cheerful and plays fun music. And so what a great way to keep this Monday going and a little bit happier note and happier vibe than me complaining about my ex. So okay. So I hope you have a wonderful day and be well. I want to send my love out to you. Namaste.
You cannot spell Discorder without disco. And to disco is to attend or dance at such a club or party. Attend the Discorder fundraiser March 29th at the Biltmore Cabaret. There will be bands, swag, a silent auction, and more. Disco with Discorder, March 29th at the Biltmore and Keep That Magazine from CITR Radio and Print.
The 26th Annual Brave New Playwrights Festival is almost here. Get stoked for comedies, tragedies, musicals, fairy tales, and dramas.
To be or not to be.
This year's festival includes over 30 actors, 12 plays, 12 directors, over a dozen designers, one stage reading, nearly 20 crew members, and 26 years of history under its belt. If that was too much math for you, just go to bravenew.ca for info and tickets. Brave New Playwrights, March 28th to April 1st.
The folks at the Waldorf Hotel invite you to join them Thursday, March 29th for The Coat Hangers and White Mystery. The Coat Hangers are an all-girl quartet from Atlanta who will hook you with their unaffected, unpretentious, and deliciously sloppy form of rock. White Mystery is a brother-sister rock and roll duo all the way from Chicago. Doors for Coat Hangers and White Mystery are at 9, and advanced tickets are available through thewaldorfhotel.com. Again, that's The Coat Hangers and White Mystery, Thursday, March 29th at the Waldorf Hotel in Vancouver.
How do you go from this
would not be felt apart
to this?
Your parents' Shakespeare, this ain't. Welcome to The Bombity of Errors, an adaptation of MC Willie Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors. Elizabethan times get pumped up with a little hip-hop flavor as actors sing, rap, and rhyme with a live DJ on stage. Bombity of Errors runs from April 4th through the 22nd at Studio 16 in Vancouver. For tickets and more information, just go to brownpapertickets.com.
The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
This month in Discorder, this month's cover features the experimental punk band Shearing Pinks, three dudes who have been an underground Vancouver staple since 2005 and have over 50 releases, big and small, under their belts. Also featured this month are The Bleeding Hearts, who released their debut EP this month, a review on Wim Wenders' latest film, the 3D dance epic Pina, an update on the Rio's ongoing battle to show movies and serve liquor, not to mention a bunch of excellent show and album reviews, and all of your regular features. Pick up your beautiful and free copy of Discorder at any Friends of CITR business, or if you've gone paperless, don't forget to check out Discorder at discorder.ca. Discorder, that magazine from CITR, supporting local music for over 25 years. This April, Timbre Concerts and CITR Radio are proud to present.
Mike Doughty, April 5th at the Media Club. Doors are at 8 and the show begins at 9 p.m. The American singer-songwriter, formerly of Soul Coughing, is on tour performing a concert and conducting Q&As about his new book, The Book of Drugs.
Chairlift with special guest Night Jewel, Friday, April 6th at the Electric Owl. This will be an early show, ending at 11. All the way from Brooklyn, this electro-pop duo is on tour to support that new release, Something.
First Aid Kit with special guest Peggy Sue, Thursday, April 10th at Venue. Coming at you from Sweden, First Aid Kit is an indie folk duo touring to support their